This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and happy Christmas Eve, Christmas is right around the corner, and I hope that your preparations are coming together if they're not together already. I know that there's always so many last little things that we like to do and get in, but the fact of the matter is the reason for the season, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the preparation that I really hope is in order is the preparation of your heart to receive Him as He comes anew to us on this coming Christmas Day. What a beautiful opportunity it is to gather with family and friends. And if you're alone right now, I want to remind you, you're not alone, because EWTN Radio is going to be carrying special programming all day tomorrow and also on Christmas Day. So tune in, listen to the treats that are coming your way via EWTN Radio. And do know that you're not going to be alone, because in spirit, we will all be together as the mystical body of Christ. Wonderful thing to consider as we look around our friends and families and we observe them and we see them face to face, or we see them through the miracle of technology and FaceTime, no matter how it is that we gather with them, know indeed that you are connected more in spirit to them than you are in flesh, because we come together in our Lord Jesus. What a beautiful opportunity this is. I am in red and white today. A little preemptive, I admit, but nonetheless, I wanted to spend this time with you. This is the last broadcast that we'll have before Christmas Day, since tomorrow we've got our special programming coming to you, and the same on Christmas Day. So I wanted to be dressed for the season, so to speak, so that we could celebrate together. And as I was sharing with you and talking with you a little bit, you know, my mind goes back to all of the Christmases that I've spent, and I thought what might be a very nice thing to do today would be to call in and to share what is our favorite Christmas tradition. Most of these Christmas traditions are connected to family. Mine certainly are, and I'm going to share with you a little bit about my favorite family traditions and why they're so meaningful and important to me. And I'd love for you to call in and to share that same kind of memory, that same kind of perhaps reinstitution of this family tradition this year. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you and special remembrances that we want to share today. Another way that you can be with us is via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply go out there, use the chat feature, put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will get it retrieved and up on the board, and we'll be able to share your Christmas tradition with all of our listeners today. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you for all of that. Obviously, sending much joy, much love, many blessings your way as we gather today, as I will be doing all through the holiday season, and quite frankly, as I do every day for you in my prayer. I do want to mention to you, we've got some wonderful things that are happening at Women of Grace, and I want to remind you about an upcoming event. It's happening right after the first of the year, January the 9th and January the 10th, the evening of January 9th, which is a Friday, and all day Saturday, January the 10th. I say all day, but it's really like from about 8 in the morning. I think registration starts at that time. We're going to get underway around 9, and we're going to run until about 3. Of course, there'll be lunch in between that. We're going to have lunch prepared for you. This is a beautiful event that's taking place at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church, located right here in the Diocese of Birmingham. We're going to be discussing what I consider to be one of the most important topics that we can take into our minds and into our hearts. One of the most important aspects of our relationship with God that we always have got to be attentive to, and it is this. Here is the theme: be set free, healing the wounded heart. Be set free, healing the wounded heart. We're going to be talking about all of those encumbrances of the spirit that sometimes keep us at a distance from the Lord, or at least prevent us from moving forward in our life of union with Him. And we're going to be talking about what would be the provisions for those wounds of the heart. How are they healed? How do we cooperate in that process? What would be some of the ways that we could identify these wounds of the heart? What remedies does Holy Mother Church offer us? What does Jesus tell us about these things, right? We're going to be looking at all of that, exploring this together in a systematic approach through the course of the day. I'm going to be offering you 5 seminars on this topic, beginning on Friday evening, January the 9th, and running through Saturday the 10th. It's going to be something I think that you'll be able to take away with you, employ in your life, abundantly usable, right? Abundantly, I think, rememberable. We're going to make it that way through the various presentations, but also through some added features. So we're going to have some clips from movies and things like this that kind of drive the point home. I think that it's going to be a real benefit. Obviously, if I didn't think that, I wouldn't be investing my time in it. I wouldn't be offering it to you. So it's going to be this beautiful day at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. Of course, I'm going to be presenting these talks, but we're going to have prayer. We're going to have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There will be opportunity for the Sacrament of Holy Confession. We're going to have wonderful music by vocalist Danielle Rose, a beautiful, beautiful woman of God with a beautiful voice. She's going to raise that voice to God as prayer along with us. And I know that it's going to reach those places of our heart and our soul. You know, I want to talk a little bit about this for just a moment. I don't think that we understand the beauty and the wonder of music. You know, music is a gift to us from God, and we know that God loves music. We know this because in sacred scripture, we have the entirety of all of the Psalms. And what were they? They were hymns. They were hymns to God. David is given credit for writing those. There might have been other authors, but if there were other authors, those authors wrote them in that Davidic style, so to speak. And these were really prayers of supplication, prayers of petition, prayers of gratitude and praise, prayers of lamentation. So the beautiful thing about the Psalms is that they express all of the human emotions. Well, this is what music does. It gives us a beautiful vehicle by which we can express our emotion. But not only that, there is something about music that makes our heart abundantly receptive to the grace that God wants to bring us. And this is why, you know, music is so integral to our liturgy. And the more beautiful the music, I think the more receptive the spirit is. Why is that? Because we know that God is the fulfillment of all beauty, the fulfillment of all goodness, the fulfillment of all truth. And so, you know, the beauty of music, the plaintive sounds that are coming from the depths of a heart, that are giving acclamation to God and raising, you know, the lamentation of the soul to the Lord, right? The goodness of the Lord, all of this becomes expressed through song, and it reaches into the soil of our heart. And it plants seeds there, and in many cases, it harvests the seeds that have already borne fruit within us. So we're going to have that opportunity. It's going to be beautiful. The event is being hosted by St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. It's being presented by Women of Grace and Arise Worship Ministry here in the Diocese of St. Petersburg. So we're looking forward to it. The doors are open to men, open to women, open to young adults, open to Catholics, open to non-Catholics. We want you all to come and join us for this amazing, amazing time together that I know will set your new year on a path to wholeness and hope. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. So happy to be with you on this eve of Christmas Eve, to spend this time together as we anticipate the coming of the Lord. I've been sharing with you over the last few days here, you know, that the greatest of all preparation is the preparation of our heart. We've been talking a little bit about that, of course, through the Advent season as well. And here we are. The culmination is close at hand. So let's finish strong. Let's finish strong. Let's Try to spend, you know, a few extra moments in our time of prayer every day. If we have an opportunity to avail ourselves to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I certainly hope that we will take advantage of that opportunity. And let's see, you know, let's just see what new way we can welcome the Christ child. I thought that today, being the eve of Christmas Eve and the fact that we're having special programming for you all day tomorrow and all day Christmas Day, and I hope that you will tune in for that because it's really going to be quite special, quite amazing. I mentioned to you that Anthony Coniglio is going to be giving, you know, a presentation talking about Christmas, but in light of various hymns, giving us the history of those hymns. And I have seen this presentation on YouTube, not being able to be there in person, though I would have liked to have been, but his mother graciously sent me the recording of this. She's a good friend of mine, Gail Coniglio. And, you know, it is beautiful. I was amazed at the history of some of the Christmas songs that we sing. And it was very informative in that way, but it was also very inspirational. So I think that you're really going to enjoy it. So I'm hoping that you'll tune in for that. I think I'm doing this basically from recollection. I'll correct myself if I'm wrong. But I think that is at 1 p.m., tomorrow. I'm going to tell you that for sure in just a moment or two here. But that being said, I hope you'll tune in. I also want to remind you about the special event that we're having at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church the evening of January 9th, which is a Friday night. And then Saturday, the day is going to begin with registration, of course, which I think is at 8 in the morning. But then the day itself is actually going to kick off at 9 o'clock and it's going to run until 3. We're going to feed you in between. You can register right there at our website, womenofgrace.com. And I certainly hope that you will do so. We've had lots of people signing up already. We've got room for a whole lot more. We would like to welcome you, and we invite you to join us for this day that I think is going to be transformational for you. So don't deprive yourself of, I think, a special grace that God wants for you to receive by way of this day that we have planned. The theme, of course, is Be Set Free, Healing the Wounded Heart. We're going to have 5 presentations on that topic. There's going to be prayer, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Confessions will be available later in the day, and we will also have the opportunity to be ministered to through music by the beautiful vocalist Danielle Rose. So do join us for this very, very special day. Well, we're talking about family traditions today, family traditions for Christmas, and I know that so many of those traditions involve food and family, you know, two very important, lovely words that kind of loop us together at Christmas time. And I'm sure that I've shared this with you in the past, but when I was growing up, every Sunday dinner we had at my paternal grandparents' home. And there were 13 of us grandchildren. Two of them lived in various places because their dad was in the Air Force. So they were with us for the major holidays, but not every Sunday dinner. But we would gather there every Sunday, my 11 cousins and their parents and my parents and my grandparents, for this beautiful, beautiful time of family. And of course, the children, we just loved it because, you know, we just frolicked together and had so much fun. And yeah, there were a few arguments, but those were minimal. We had a lot of fun together. And of course, Christmas was no different. We would gather at Grandma's house on Christmas Eve. And I can tell you, I remember very specifically, the children would be put to bed early in the evening, and then our parents would come and they would carry us to the car and drive us home. In my memory, that was usually 11 or 12 in the evening, right? 11 o'clock p.m. or 12 midnight, we would get home. And of course, you know, all of the anticipation would happen as we were driving home, but we had to wait until Christmas morning because Santa hadn't come yet. We would get up Christmas morning, open up all of our presents, have a nice breakfast. You know, obviously this was all after Mass. And then we would head back to Grandma's house and we would spend Christmas Day there as well. Special foods around that time of the year, we always had turkey. Always turkey was part of it. And Grandma's pies. Oh my goodness, my grandmother made the very best pies. She made cherry pie. She made apple pie. She made coconut custard pie. She made banana cream pie. And if you can hear me drooling right now, I certainly am. They were delicious pies. She would make these pies, bake these pies, and she would cool them out on the brick wall of the back porch. And, you know, the steam would rise up from them. And oh my gracious, it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. Invariably, the children would bring perhaps the favorite gift that they received and share it with each other, tell each other about it. Sometimes those Gifts got broken. Unfortunately, those things did happen. But it was a wonderful time. And when I see my cousins, of course, we're all older now, adults, moving on in time, the fact of the matter is we recollect together. And all of our most favorite memories surround Grandma's house on Sundays, but especially the holidays. I do want to mention, too, one special treat that we would get both at Christmas time and Easter time from Gram is that she would make nut roll. Her nut rolls were so, so good. And my one cousin, Sherry, I'm sure that maybe some of the other cousins might make the nut roll. I have never tried my hand at it. It's very involved. You have to grind nuts with a you know, nut grinder, not a chopper, but I mean, this is an involved process. But my one cousin, Sherry, who lives in Las Vegas, continues to make these nut roll. Last year, she sent one to Jack and to me, and I got to tell you, it was every bit as good as my grandma's. All of that being said, those are some of my favorite memories of this time of the year. I always give a nod to my grandma, who's gone on to her eternal reward many years ago after living to the ripe old age of 94, and to my granddad, who made it all so very, very possible for us, and for my parents and for my aunts and uncles who have all gone home. I don't have any aunts and uncles left on either side of the family. Anyway, now I have a tear in my eye and a choke, choked up a little bit thinking about that. But it's also a time when we do remember our loved ones. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today right here on Women of Grace Live. And I do hope that you'll call in with your favorite tradition. I'll get myself under control here in a minute. It's just one of those things, you know, these moments of sentiment that just hit you out of nowhere. And they don't care if you're on the air, you know, they don't care one bit. They just come unbidden sometimes. But my grandmother was very, very dear to me. She was my rosary praying grandma, and I've shared about her with you in the past. 13 grandchildren, a rosary a day for each one of us. That's 13 rosaries a day. And I know that my love for the rosary came from my grandma's example and actually from the rosaries that she prayed for me. And I knew she was praying for me when I went through a really hard time in my life. So all that being said, we remember in a very special way those we love and all of the joy that they brought to us. And I'm just positive that you have some Christmas traditions that you celebrated growing up as a child. And I certainly would love to hear what they are. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Or get on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or EWTN's YouTube channel, leave your question or comment there in the chat feature. Be sure to tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening today, if it's not through social media. Put your question and comment in there. We're going to get it retrieved and up on the board. I think it's Pedro Quiles that's doing the retrieving. I'm not sure who's doing the call screening, but we're going to find out really soon. Looking forward to hearing from you. Yeah, my favorite Christmas came when I think I was about, I might have been 5. Maybe 6 years old. And oh my goodness, I got 3 baby dolls for Christmas. Isn't that wild? 3 baby dolls. I don't think I ever got a baby doll after that because I got them all in one Christmas. To this day, I remember their names. Their names were Sandy, Susan, and Mary Ann. And of the 3, they all had a different hair color. Sandy was a brunette. Susan was blonde. And Mary Ann was a redhead. They made a deep impression upon me. Unfortunately, those baby dolls no longer exist. I wish they did. But that being said, that was a very, very special Christmas for me. And it's actually commemorated. I have a family photo of me. And that's how I'm kind of judging what my age was. Underneath the Christmas tree at my grandma's house. Actually, I might have been younger than that. I must have been 5 because we used to live in an apartment behind my grandma's house. And so we still lived there because we were celebrating Christmas morning there and the gifts were under grandma's tree. And there I am with the 3 baby dolls sitting in my dad's lap with a little baby doll stroller next to me. It was really quite special. All righty, we've got Oscar out there on YouTube. Join Oscar. Go out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening. And we will be happy to take your information and get it up on the board. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Oscar out there on YouTube says, for my Christmas traditions, our Salvadorian Christmas traditions include making tamales, sharing a big family meal, and opening gifts at midnight on Noche Buena. I probably need to get Vanessa to pronounce that correctly for me. We also light fireworks. What a wonderful thing. I'm so excited about that. And, you know, these family meals, they stay with us, don't they? And I know that so many continue those traditions as they grow older. Growing up, you know, when I was married and our children were growing up, we always had for Christmas dinner a beef tenderloin and a leg of lamb. That was what we did. That really came more from my husband's tradition. He was Croatian, and they always had leg of lamb on Christmas Day and Easter. We continued that tradition in our household. And grandma's nut roll, which I would receive one until grandma went home to be with the Lord. And then it was always along with grandma's nut roll. And then after grandma, the nut rolls that his family would make. They were different than my grandmother's because they followed the you know, more Eastern European style of nut roll. But boy, oh boy, were they good. Oh, and poppy seed roll. Oh, gracious me. I'm getting hungry again. Oh, and lekvar. Oh, gee, so good. But Oscar, I'm so happy. And I just wonder, Oscar, if you make the tamales now that you're grown up, it's a lovely thing to continue those traditions. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Michael McCall is answering the phone today. He will be eager to take your call and get it up on the board. Pedro Quiles is taking messages left for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. We're talking about Christmas traditions, and maybe you have a favorite Christmas carol or Christmas hymn. Let us know what that is. We would love to hear about it. Certainly mine is Silent Night. I remember growing up, and when I couldn't fall asleep, my mother would come in and she would sing Silent Night to me, and I don't think she ever got to the second stanza. I would be sound asleep, and I continued that tradition too, singing Silent Night to my children and singing Silent Night to my grandchildren. I would sing my grandchildren a whole medley, and I have four grandchildren who are boys, and each of them belong to a set of twins, and so the older twins... So, darling, I would sing to them Silent Night, and they would say to me, Grandma, come sing us to sleep. Okay, I would say, and they're old, too old for that now. But I would sing to them, and I would say, okay, so what song do you boys want to hear? And the one twin would say Silent Night, and the other twin would say Holy Night. Silent Night. Holy Night. Okay. So we would always start with Silent Night and go from there. Roxanne on YouTube, we do Feast of the Seven Fishes on Christmas Eve. Roxanne, you know, if this is Roxanne from Pittsburgh, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, this is an Italian custom. So I'm wondering, Roxanne, if you are Italian and, you know, what a lovely thing. It's a lovely, lovely thing, and we certainly do love these traditions that are longstanding in these different ethnicities. And, you know, Oscar called in, and he's talking with us about tamales, and you're calling in or leaving a message for us on YouTube along with him about the seven fishes. Maybe, indeed, you carry on an ethnic tradition of the holiday. Let us know what that might be. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah, and Jack is reminding me about Matthew, my grandson Matthew. He also liked me singing that to him when he was a wee boy. But these kids are all growing up, you know. Gee whiz, it's just amazing to me how quickly they grow. So Matthew's in high school now. He certainly does not want me singing him to sleep at night anymore. And the other little ones, they live far away from me now. So the wee ones that still are wee, I don't have that opportunity to sing to anymore. And here's something else that I'm hearing from Oscar. They light the fireworks. And I think Noche Buena, I think, you know, is that, I don't know if that's Christmas Eve or if that is Christmas Day night. But maybe you can tell me, Vanessa. Anyway, she's not Guatemalan, Salvadoran, though. But at any rate, the fireworks, lots of people do that. And that's very festive, and it's very, very fun. And it's very, very related to a lot of different ethnic traditions. I do want to hear from you today. Let us know what your favorite Christmas carol is, your favorite Christmas hymn. Let us know what, your favorite food is for Christmas, and your favorite Christmas tradition. Lots of people make a family tradition out of going to Midnight Mass, and I wonder if you go to Midnight Mass, and what it is that you like so much about Midnight Mass. Midnight Mass is in many places, many parishes, is no longer at midnight. In many cases, those Masses run a little earlier in the evening, like 8 o'clock. Or even 10 o'clock at night. I know that there is one location here, I think it's St. Mark's, as a matter of fact, where it's going to be at 11 o'clock p.m. So, if the timing is right, that might be right around the distribution of Holy Communion. It could even be, wouldn't it be lovely if that timed perfectly with the consecration? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that would be really amazing, now that I think of it. Quite lovely. Maybe that will be the case, too, depending upon what precedes. So all of that being said, this very special time of the year, but with a very special message. And that message is peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus comes as our Redeemer. He tells us he comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He gives himself to us anew each and every day. In a special way, though, I think on the day that we celebrate his birthday, December 25th, there are special graces for us. So be sure to ask for a special Christmas grace. And I think that many, many souls find their way from purgatory into heaven on that day as well. I'm quite certain that our Blessed Mother is sent by the Lord to open the gate along with Gabriel and let the souls rise. What a beautiful thought that is. We're going to be right back. 833-288-EWTN is the way to connect with us today, or leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Talking about all things Christmas today. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. Available to you also if you are outside of North America, country code 1. 205-271-2985 is the number for you to use. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. We're eager to hear from you on this eve of Christmas Eve. We're talking about all things Christmas today. We're talking about your favorite family tradition, maybe perhaps one that you have continued now that you're an adult. Additionally, we are asking you to think about the favorite food that you like, perhaps. Is there a particular food that has been carried on through the generations in your family? Or what about your favorite Christmas hymn or favorite Christmas carol? We'll talk about that too. Just give us a call here. It's a beautiful time to share these thoughts and ideas. And sometimes, we see something happening in somebody's home and we say, that's a lovely tradition. I think I'm going to adopt that. And so we do. Love to hear from you about all of those topics today. Another way that you can reach us is to go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and leave your question or comment for us right there. And we are going to get it retrieved. Do tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening, if it is some way other than social media way. Eager to hear from you in all of those ways today as we share some of the beautiful Christmas traditions and Christmas carols that have marked our lives, a lovely opportunity for us to open, you know, begin to open up our heart in a certain way to those memories and those beautiful, beautiful, beautiful traditions. And I do believe that that was Christmas Eve. Oscar was talking with us about Noche Buena, and that is Christmas Eve. So there we have it. Thank you for letting me know that. All right. Some great, you know, thoughts coming your way about preparation for Christmas from Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. I've also been sharing with you from his beautiful, beautiful classic work, Divine Intimacy. I know it's a little late to be getting a Christmas gift, but if in fact you need a Christmas gift really fast, or you need to have one shipped to someone, this is a beautiful, beautiful book. It is filled with meditations, one for each day of the year. These are meditations that come from various retreat talks that Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene gave to cloistered Carmelite religious, he himself a Carmelite priest. And so they're filled with, you know, the spirituality of the Carmelite tradition. And he really helps for us, I think, to enter more deeply into this life of union with God. And I was sharing with you earlier that, you know, each coming of Christmas gives us an opportunity to enter more deeply into relationship with our Lord. And we want to be aware of that. We don't want the busyness of the season and all of what we're talking about today to take precedence, as important as it is. The most important thing, of course, is our relationship with the one who comes to us on Christmas Day, our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that he has come to give us life and life to the full, John 10:10. It's his mission statement. You know, it's the whole purpose of his coming is that we might have life. And certainly, you know, physical life. We have existed in the mind of God since before the foundations of the world were laid in place, St. Paul tells us. So from all eternity, God envisioned you. And when he knew it was the perfect time, he gave you life. But the life that Jesus is coming to give us is something that's going to supersede that. Something that begins here, begins at the moment of our baptism. But the fulfillment of it is going to be eternal life. And so this is the abundant life he wants us to know, that he wants us to have. He wants us to taste it here, you know, through relationship with him. But the fullness of it, the satisfying meal that it will be, is waiting for us in eternity. And so, you know, we think about all of these beautiful things. And I thought perhaps we would also take a little look at what Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene talks with us about for tomorrow, for December the 24th. And here the little prayer of recollection is, O incarnate Word, my Savior, teach me the lessons of wisdom contained in the mystery of your incarnation. What a beautiful prayer that is. You know, all of these mysteries of our faith are totally inexhaustible. We can never exhaust them. You know, if we lived to be, you know, 500 years old, we would never exhaust any of the mysteries of our faith. They're mysteries that will continue to unfold for us when we see our Lord face to face and throughout all eternity. But he says this, he says, of all the works done by God in time and outside of himself, the redemptive incarnation of the Word is the greatest. It is the greatest because it has for end not a mere creature, however sublime, but God himself, the eternal Word, who, in time, assumed a human nature. It is the greatest because it is the supreme manifestation of the merciful love of God and the work which, above all others, glorifies him. And it glorifies him precisely in reference to charity, which is his very essence. It is also the greatest of his works because of the immense good it brings to mankind. The salvation, sanctification, and eternal happiness of the whole human race depend wholly upon the incarnation of the Word, upon Jesus, the incarnate Word. God the Father, and this is lovely, this is just a little nod from heaven to us today. God the Father chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and unspotted, who hath predestined us unto the adoption of children through Jesus Christ unto himself, in whom we have redemption, the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. God hath quickened us together in Christ, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Here he's quoting Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, one of my favorite verses, as well as 5 through 7, and then chapter 2, 5, 6. What a beautiful, beautiful reality. Just beautiful things to think about. He says this, without him, man would not be able to call God by the sweet name of Father. He could not love him as his son loves his father, nor could he hope to be admitted into his intimacy. There would be no grace, no beatific vision. Without Jesus, man would be imprisoned within the limits of a purely human life, deprived of every supernatural horizon in time and in eternity. I want to pause there and talk a little bit about that last sentence. Without Jesus, man would be imprisoned within the limits of a purely human life, deprived of every supernatural horizon in time and in eternity. And, you know, I was thinking that earlier I was talking with you about this day and a half or evening and a day that we're going to spend together at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. And, you know, Jesus wants us to know the abundant life that he's come to bring us. As we were talking earlier, that's his mission statement. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, or I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. He wants us to have the fullness of life. And I see this word imprisoned, and I often use that word in reference to these wounds of the heart, that they imprison us. And sometimes, you know, we imprison ourselves there because we don't know they exist, or we know they exist, but we don't want to deal with them. And in that way, we keep Jesus out. We keep Jesus out of that part of our being, that territory of who we are. And that prison, you know, can become entrenched in us. But nothing is greater than the power and the mystery of God, his mercy and his love. So, you know, the timing of this event, I think, is really keen. Because we're going to receive Jesus just, you know, what, 2 weeks prior to this? And now we're going to welcome him into these territories of our being that perhaps need to be submitted to him, offered to him as a sacrifice of praise. And I think it's so very beautiful. Without Jesus, man would be imprisoned within the limits of a purely human life, deprived of every supernatural horizon in time and in eternity. God wants us to know that supernatural horizon in time and in eternity, in all aspects of our being. So, you know, again, I want to invite you to join us there. You know, It is a, you know, beginning on a Friday evening, and it runs through Saturday. So, you know, if don't let the evil one deprive you of what God wants you to know. So this is one of the, you know, aspect of Jesus coming, not in just one aspect of our being, but he wants to come in every one of them. He wants to fill us in you with his own divine life. And, you know, these Christmas traditions that we have and our favorite Christmas carols, all of these things are sort of a way of putting us into a posture where just as we receive the love of family through gift giving and through the food that they serve, you know, through the reminiscences that happen at this time of the year, well, God wants to fill us even beyond all of that. Sometimes we walk away satiated, right? Maybe fuller of food than we should be. Maybe we walk away, you know, stuffed with happy memories. Maybe, you know, we walk away with, you know, beautiful gifts that we would value forever. But the fact of the matter is, there's only one thing that lasts forever. It's soon going to fade away, go away. And the beautiful memory. You know, I think, you know, I'm very aware of the fact that you know, our program is available in lots of prison systems. And occasionally we hear from these prisoners. And, you know, I just want to say this, gentlemen, ladies, I just want to give you and might be holding you captive as a punishment for something that you have righteously or unrighteously been accused of. But there is one thing that bar cannot do. It's to imprison your soul. Jesus can come there. And he can even make a prison cell something beautiful and glorious by way of his being. And it might be the very way in which he draws you nearer and nearer to him. Oh, I know, it can be tough. It can be hard. It can be particularly sad at these times of the year. But you're not alone. Christ Jesus is with you. And the very last gift that he gave to us as he was taking his breath, last breath, in addition to the redemptive grace which was already flowing by way of the blood that was pouring out of him, he gives us the gift of his mother. And our Blessed Lady, she is the great concealer of souls. And Our Lady does not discriminate. She loves each one of us to the maximum potential of a perfect creature, which is great indeed, second only to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loves us to infinity. She participates in their love for us and mothers us in the same way as she mothered her son. What beautiful realities we have through the gift of our Catholic faith. What beautiful realities we know by way of the coming of Jesus Christ. We ought never to take any of it for granted. Each day is a gift. Each day is a new unveiling. Each day there is a new grace that God would have us receive. Well, yes, we have to cooperate with it. We have to have the eyes of our soul peeled, looking for it. The ears of our soul open wide to hear it. We need to allow ourselves to be immersed in it by way of the Spirit of the living God. And that's what I pray for you. I pray that for the imprisoned. I pray that for all of us who have created our own prisons. The Lord wants to set us free. And the greatest freedom is the spiritual freedom that comes by way of Jesus our Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In another place, I believe it's Paul, says, when the Lord has set us free, we are freed indeed. When the Lord has set us free, we are free indeed. Our Lord wants to free us. Will we let him? Will we give him this Christmas the chains that bind us interiorly? Will we relinquish it to him? Will we surrender to him? Spiritual surrender is not a passive action. It's very active. It requires a letting go, a trusting in God, and a sacrifice of praise. And then it has to be followed up by a resistance to taking it back again. Taking it back again. Once we give a gift to the Lord, we give it and we never look back. We put our hand to the plow and we move forward in the new path that he's carving out for us. So I invite you to consider all of that, you know, as we head into Christmas Eve tomorrow and as we head into Christmas Day, which follows, that God has something majestic in store for you. Keep the eyes of your soul open. Keep the ears of your soul open. Be on the lookout. Be a sentry. Be a sentry for Jesus, looking for him, finding him, releasing ourselves to him, walking in him, and letting him walk in all of us. You know, I see, even as I say those last words, I see the soul and I see footprints. You might remember that image of footprints in the sand, you know. And we know that our Lord does impress his footstep in our soul when we release ourselves to him, when we make a gift of ourselves. And that's what our Lord would have us do. Father Gabriel goes on and says, God's greatest work, the incarnation of the Word, destined to enlighten and save the whole world, takes place in obscurity and silence, and under the most humble and most human conditions. Caesar's edict obliges Mary and Joseph to leave their little home in Nazareth and undertake a journey. They travel on foot like the poor, in spite of the discomfort of Mary's condition. They do not think of objecting to the trip. They make no complaint, but obey with promptness and simplicity. He who commands is a man, but their profound spirit of faith discovers God's will in the command of the pagan emperor, and they go, trusting in God's providence. God knows, God will provide. To them that love God, all things work together unto the good. Romans 8:28. In Bethlehem, there is no room for them. They are obliged to take shelter in a hillside cave. The poverty of this refuge for animals does not dismay or scandalize them. They know that the child who is about to be born is the Son of God. They know that the child who is about to be born is the Son of God, but they also know that God's greatest works are entirely different from man's. And if God wishes his greatest work to be accomplished here, in this wretched stable, in utter poverty, Mary and Joseph embrace his will. The least bit of human reasoning would be enough to confuse and disturb them and arouse doubts. Mary and Joseph are extremely humble, hence they are docile and filled with faith in God. And God, as is his custom, made use of what is humble and despicable in the eyes of the world to accomplish the greatest of his works, the incarnation of the Word. How beautiful is that? You know, here we are, we're a day out from Christmas Eve, and if we were to reflect on that travel of St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother, you know, we know there's still some distance from Bethlehem. They have the rest of this day and tonight and the rest of tomorrow to travel. But travel they will. They will travel, and the work of God will be accomplished in them. In a similar fashion, don't we have a road to travel? And in a similar fashion, when we travel that road with the Christ child, as Mary and Joseph did, God's will be accomplished in us. And so that's what I pray. I pray that that is precisely what we do, that we dispose of everything that prevents us from drawing near to the Christ child, and we dispose of everything within us that prevents the Christ child from drawing deeper into our heart. Cecilia on YouTube says, thank you, Jeanette, for keeping us so close to our Lord today. God bless you well. Thank all of you for listening today, and let us all journey together through the rest of today, tomorrow night, and celebrate the birth of our Lord with joy and confidence in him. God bless you on this eve of Christmas Eve, and know that I am tucking you into my heart. You will be with me at Mass. You will be with me in my Eucharist, and I'll carry you all day long. Remember me too. Until we are together again, may God richly bless you, May the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours, and may you have a very rich, spiritually rich Christmas. Bye-bye now.